We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Craig is usually a fan of water cooler talk, but it's draft season, and that's all anyone wants to talk about. The Athletic has loads of articles about this year's draft. But Greg doesn't have The Athletic, so now he's filling up his water bottle in the bathroom sink. Which, to remind you, is the sink people use after they use the bathroom. Get The Athletic and get the info you need to speak draft fluently.
Getting the smile and confidence you've been dreaming about, all from the comfort of your home, isn't a total mystery with Bite Clear Aligners. Just don't be surprised if all your friends start asking, "What's your secret?" Begin by ordering your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95. Bite Clear Aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces, plus they offer flexible financing, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Bite.
It's time for the Mountaineer Insider Podcast. Get inside into your favorite West Virginia University teams and hear exclusive interviews. The Mountaineer Insider Podcast is presented by Segra. Segra, powering organizations of all sizes with state-of-the-art voice, data, and internet services. Now, let's go live inside our MSN studios. Here's your host of the Mountaineer Insider, Dan Zangrilli.
And hello, Mountaineer Nation. We hope you and yours are well as we come to you from the Mountaineer Sports Network studios here on the Mountaineer Insider Podcast. I'm Dan Zangrilli, and coming up on this week's edition of the pod, we're going to check in with our good buddy Alan Taylor from The Athletic. Of course, you can hear Alan on our Mountaineer Sports Network coverage of the Go Martin Mountaineer tailgate show for football, and also a big-time contributor on our post-game show as well, especially when we're on the road. Good to talk to AT. We're going to cover a lot of ground. We're going to talk about the West Virginia men's basketball roster. Of course, Oscar dipping his toe in the NBA waters to see what his value may or may not be, and what does Hugs do with that final scholarship that he has as he looks to fill out his roster. The NFL draft is coming up. The prospects for Colton McKivitz, by far and away West Virginia football's best pro, that will be hoping to sign a deal with the team here coming up next week. So we'll cover a lot of ground coming up here on this week's edition of the pod. Plus, Mike Carey, the West Virginia women's basketball coach, is stopping by as there were a number of letters of intent that were signed. Four new Mountaineers added to the roster, many of which will be able to come in and make an immediate impact. The WNBA draft is also this week coming up Friday evening. What is Mike hearing as far as Tynese Martin's prospects of going in the WNBA draft? How high, and maybe which teams might be kicking the tires on one of the great all-time WNBA women's basketball players? So let's kick it off. What do you say, Alan Taylor? An opportunity to chat with the West Virginia writer from The Athletic. All right, AT, good to talk to you, and hopefully you're all hunkered down. Everybody is safe and sound, and hey, you haven't had a shortage of things to write about. We've had plenty of news here during this spell. Hope you're well, brother.
Doing well, man. Everybody's healthy. Nobody coughing, no fevers, and so we're all good. on that standpoint. Was a little thrown ajar by the snow in the middle of April, but hey, you know, it's West Virginia for you. Yeah, the thing about sports right now is it feels like it's all on hold and on pause, which it is. But, you know, for the NFL, it's still moving right along with free agent signings and guys preparing for the draft, albeit in a way that, you know, no one really foresaw. We're doing these virtual pro days and virtual team meetings. So it's going to be interesting to see, you know, what West Virginia has come draft day.
Yeah, and I want to talk to you about that, especially as it pertains to Colton McKivitz here coming up in a little bit. But as it pertains to player movement to and from basketball teams and schools, I mean, we haven't had a shortage of that. That's still business as usual as well. Let's first start off with West Virginia basketball roster. Hugs spoke to reporters earlier in the week. Were you thrown aback at all by Oscar testing the waters, or did you pretty much anticipate it? In fact, you'd be surprised if he didn't try to see exactly where he's at in his career.
Well, you know, if you look at this historically and you try to keep up with the changing guidelines around players entering the draft, it seems like every year there's a new set of rules for those guys. It used to be you could try this once and if you didn't get a good grade, you'd come back out, you repay the travel, and you're good. Well, now there's really no limit on how many times a kid can seek this NBA evaluation, right? So almost by default, you see a bloated sea of players throwing their names out there just to get feedback, right? We saw Javon Carter do it with the explicit intention of coming back to school, but he wanted to go and do workouts and compete against other players to get better. Oscar hasn't stated that is his goal because, really, under this year's guidelines or with the coronavirus, you're not getting worked out. You're not getting visits from NBA teams, and you're certainly not having a combine, although that hasn't officially been canceled yet. So, really, all you're doing is saying, here I am. What's the soft consensus on where I would be drafted, if drafted at all, right? So I think it's just a default sort of move for Oscar. I think he's potentially an NBA talent for sure, but there's certainly some refinements to his game that he needs to make before he can feel confident about coming out and getting guaranteed money.
Yeah, and I think Hugs pretty much gave us that indication with his Zoom call with reporters, which, by the way, was in and of itself, I think. We don't want to bury the lead here. That might be the lead story here in our discussion, Alan.
I think he gave credit to his daughter for setting it up. He says he can barely send an email, but he was decked out in all West Virginia gear in that home office, and he knew how to turn the laptop camera around a couple times to provide people a look at the inside of the house. I think Hugs may be a technical savant. He's just downplaying his skills.
Yeah, no doubt. He's always underplayed his hand here. And I didn't have him as a naked and afraid guy. Binge watching that, did you? I mean, that was a bit of an upset as well.
He dropped that knowledge, within the first two, 3 minutes on the phone call. And I'm thinking everybody, you know, suddenly has the lead to their story, right? And then to say what 7 or 8 episodes of it, which, if I remember correctly, those are 42 minutes. So that was a commitment for Hugs to watch those people try to survive in the in the wild. And I'm glad we didn't have to pixelate anything on Hugs during the Zoom conference.
Alan Taylor from The Athletic is with us. He's been covering West Virginia sports here now for the better part of a decade. How surprised would you be if Oscar did not come back, or if he did bite at whatever was thrown out his way at the NBA? Let's put it in that context, because I think essentially what Hugs said is, you know, Oscar's going to make the right decision, and he's really confident in that. And I think the consensus is, yeah, he'll be back. So I guess what would your surprise level be should he not return 18?
Well, I'm conditioned for guys who aren't ready to go ahead and go anyway, right? I've had multiple coaches say it doesn't matter if they're ready. A lot of these guys tend to leave before they're ready. So don't apply that sort of logic to it, because they don't apply the logic, and they have people talking to them who don't care about logic, who say, hey, you don't want to waste this year of, quote, earning potential, so go get something, right? So during the season, I put Oscar's return and or Derek Culver's return at about 50-50 for one of them to leave, whether that meant someone getting in their ear or them playing well or whatever the case may be. But that was when I thought there were going to be combines and there were going to be team meetings with guys and workouts where they could see Oscar run the floor like a beast, where they could see Oscar physically and realize he's not your average 20-year-old, right? Without that sort of ability, I don't think teams, NBA teams, are going to gamble as much or be persuaded, right? I think whatever's on film is really what you have to go on, as Hug said the other day. So I would put, you know, at Oscar probably a 66-67% chance, two-thirds of coming back to school. And again, that other third is not a testament to anything I know other than guys leave when they shouldn't leave. And even though Oscar is so grateful for everything he gets, I mean, if you've ever heard this kid talk about the shoes that a college basketball player gets, he was brought up in such humble surroundings that for him that is a huge deal, and it's something he doesn't take for granted. So I don't know that he's chasing dollars as much as you might stereotypically think an American kid is. But again, I've always been surprised, so I'll leave that third out there, you know, just in case someone tells him, hey, dude, you'd definitely be a, you know, high second-round guy, and those guys get guaranteed contracts typically anyway, just like Javon did, so he'd come out. But again, I think Hug is right. I think he's got a good feel for it now that Oscar's back.
We've got Alan Taylor with us here on the Mountaineer Insider. As far as the rest of the West Virginia basketball roster shaping up, there's that one scholarship left. Where do you think that's going to go? What type of need do you think Huggs is going to fill? Obviously, he said he really likes where his team is at. And to kind of quote him, we've got guys.
Yeah, you do. And until Tuesday, you know, they were in the running for Luther Muhammad, the kid from Ohio State, who was a West Virginia recruit, or West Virginia target, coming out of high school in New Jersey a couple of years ago, four-star kid. You know, he started 56 games over 2 years at Ohio State, mainly as a defensive guy, decent three-point percentage in the high 30s, but only averaged 7 points. Well, he ultimately chose Arizona State as his next destination. And as I wrote in The Athletic, that was a luxury for West Virginia. It wasn't a need, because you look at their wing situation right now, and they've got a lot of bodies. I mean, you've got Taz, Sherman, Sean McNeil, Emmett Matthews as a wing. You got a JUCO kid coming in, Kidrian Johnson, who scored 25 points per game. You got Jalen Bridges from Fairmont coming off a redshirt year, and he's really a small forward wing type player. So they didn't need a two guard, right? I mean, even and Miles McBride, let's face it, is basically a two-guard, currently masquerading as a point guard. So if you were to bring in a point guard, then he slides over more to his natural two. So again, didn't need a wing. And when Luther Muhammad decided that Arizona State was where he's going to go, I think they're refocusing that last scholarship on a big man. And it doesn't even have to be a big man who can play right away. You know, it could be a kid who theoretically could redshirt a year if you let the Culvers and Oscar and Isaiah Cantrell, the four-star power forward coming in, be that three-headed monster. You are, you know, missing out on Logan Ralph from last year, who ate up some minutes and gave you some stuff. So, you know, I think that could be a Cottrell-type situation. But the guy that comes to mind for that is a three-star kid, Josh Gray, who, you know, has West Virginia in his final five, along with, I think, Auburn and Seton Hall and Providence were some of the teams he's looking at. So, you know, these late cycle, fill out the roster kind of guys, sometimes it's just somebody who's here for a year or two and doesn't work out. Other times it's guys who help you. I mean, Tariq Phillip was, I think, a May signee and recruit. Jayshon Page came in pretty late in the game as well. So sometimes you find somebody this time of year that can really help you.
Alan Taylor with us. Let's switch over to the gridiron here. With the draft coming up next weekend, or next week, I should say, Colton McKivitz, where does he slide in? I know that there's a lot of conjecture here depending on who you ask, but he's obviously the guy that West Virginia has coming out in this class. What's the scuttlebutt that you've got there?
Well, Colton's out in Arizona training. He's staying at a Marriott residence stand, which just happens to have a fishing pond on premises. And so he even says down in the lobby they give you fishing poles to go out. He's cutting up hot dogs and dropping them in the lake. So
That's essential business for him. That is big time essential business for sure.
No doubt, man. For a guy who might end up being a hunting or a fishing guide post football, that's right up his alley, man. The thing about Colton is, if you watched him at West Virginia over these 4 years playing tackle, you saw a guy who really developed physically, and his productivity was just off the charts. I mean, when you have an offense that struggles to run the ball like West Virginia's last year did, and Colton still makes second team All American, that's people understanding film and understanding that one guy was doing his job, even while some of the other four weren't necessarily. So the verdict on Colton, he always played tackle at West Virginia, but the Athletics NFL draft guru, Dane Brugler, has him listed as a number 14 guard on the board. And that's because Colton played one game at guard at West Virginia, which he started that crazy Oklahoma game from last year, the 59-56 Thanksgiving weekend game, which no one will ever forget. He actually started that one at guard and ended up playing three other positions before the night was over. But when he went to the Senior Bowl in January after graduating here, they threw him in at guard a couple of days of practice and let him play that position also during the actual Senior Bowl, and he got some good reps there. So even though he's tall, I mean, he's a 6'7 guy who looks like a tackle physique. Dane likes him at guard and really likes him in the sixth or seventh round. But there's also the possibility that one or two teams likes him enough to take him as early as the fourth. So I think that day three is going to be a settling spot for Colton.
Alan, what do you got here on on college football, right? I mean, anybody that has, I think, an idea is probably just guessing and throwing darts. We saw the conference commissioners huddled up a phone call with the Vice President of the United States. So things obviously are at a very, very high level of trying to get this thing up and running. But are you hearing anything or at least ideas, maybe not necessarily plans, as to where this thing is going to go? Spitball on that, if you would.
Well, it seems like it's split between the people who are in athletics feel like it's going to happen because it almost has to happen in terms of football season, or else all athletics in colleges, we know it, are going away or being drastically trimmed or drastically diminished. People outside of athletics, I think, tend to have a viewpoint that, well, that's a recreational activity or that's a secondary kind of thing. And my point is, yeah, you don't want to compare sports to life and death, but as far as the economy goes, sports is essential. I mean, if sports, and I'm talking NFL, NBA, college football, if those things aren't happening, then what is? I mean, because that entails traffic, that entails hotels, that entails restaurants, that entails people having income to spend on those events. So if that stuff isn't happening, then I don't think society is back to any sort of normal state, and certainly we don't want that. So I feel like it goes hand in hand with reopening businesses, reopening the economy, reopening the ability for people to leave their homes and travel more. So I'm rooting for sports because I feel like it's so tethered to everything else that we want to see happen, by this summer, assuming everybody can stay safe and this mortality rate isn't so high with the COVID-19. So with that respect, yeah, man, football, I think, is going to be played in some form or fashion. I even leave out the option that if it needs to be played without fans for the sake of saving that TV money, then I think it happens. I really do. I don't know what that atmosphere would look like. I don't know if you are going to have people on the jumbo board zooming in from their home so that you get some crowd noise from Beckley, something like that, just to give it some noise. But I think games will be played in some form or fashion this fall.
Yeah, and or maybe is it late fall, Christmas break, and we can see Mountaineer Field conceivably open in January and February?
Yeah, I don't see why not, because that wouldn't so much impact the coming season. The one sort of option that I'm hearing that I don't know is truly doable is the one where football is pushed all the way back to next winter and spring, and then you take about a 10 or 12 week break and then come back for the 2021 fall camp. I don't think that's enough recovery time. I really don't think you want kids playing potentially 28 games in a calendar year. You know what I'm saying? So I think definitely if you had to either scrap some non-conference games and play a shortened season this fall, or push the entire season, you know, back to an October 1 or November 1 start date, if that's what it takes to feel good about public safety, then I think that's doable. Again, you know, it's no secret that college football funds the entire athletic department. There's very few basketball programs that really even carry their own weight compared to football. So it's got to happen if you want to keep baseball kids on scholarship and track kids and wrestling. If you want to have women's soccer and men's soccer, football's got to be played. And to be honest, all those coaches and players from those Olympic sports are rooting for football to be played because they know that, you know, their livelihoods and at least their college scholarships are tethered to that.
Yeah, no doubt. Well, we'll sit and we'll wait, and in the interim, we'll just sort of guess and talk about hypothetical scenarios as we just did here, Alan. But nonetheless, it's always fun, and anytime we were able to get together, it sort of hits the sweet spot, if you will.
Oh, nice, man. Well, it's always good to talk to you, Dan. Hopefully, we're doing some pregame and postgame bits come fall, right?
Yeah, looking forward to it. That's Alan Taylor of The Athletic. Hey, do stay with us. The head coach of the West Virginia women's basketball team is coming up next. Mike Carey joins me after this word from Segra.
Lumos Networks is now Segra. Segra is proud to support the West Virginia Mountaineers, and we're proud to be investing in the future of Mountaineer Nation. Segra is one of the largest independent fiber bandwidth companies in the U.S. Our new dense fiber network provides the solutions, speed, diversity, scalability, and reliability West Virginia, the Mid-Atlantic, and the Southeast have been asking and waiting for. All across our footprint, Segra is providing customers with local attention and the fastest, most reliable fiber network in the region. Call 833-GO-SEGRA or visit www.segra.com to learn more. We are Segra. Let's go, Mountaineers!
Well, if you saw the wire yesterday, it has a lot of transactions on it for the West Virginia women's basketball program, as we're joined by head coach Mike Carey. Coach, first off, how are you holding up, and are you behaving? And I'm surprised Cheryl hasn't kicked you out of the house yet, quite frankly.
Well, she hasn't kicked me out because she has me working all the time. So I've been doing cutting hedges and landscaping and painting and stuff like that. So I've been keeping busy, along with, you know, Zooming. We usually Zoom our team every Sunday evening and get everybody on there. That way everybody's on the same page. And then recruiting. You know, we're still recruiting. We're still talking to recruits. We're still talking to players that have already signed and just keeping everybody on the same page.
So, as it pertains to the roster configuration, you have to replace, obviously, one of the great players in West Virginia history in Tynese Martin, and obviously Lucky Rudd was a key contributor in the backcourt. So, four newcomers are coming to the program here, and a couple by way of some Power 5 programs. Jasmine Carson, a transfer from Georgia Tech, is coming in, and also Jayla Hemingway from the really, really good Mississippi State program. Let me first ask you about Carson here, and basically give me the scouting report.
Yeah, I mean, really athletic, can shoot the ball, can score, will play hard, great young lady. I've really enjoyed recruiting her and her family and that, so we're really excited about her coming into the program. I think she's going to be, she has a lot of energy, she plays hard and that, so I think she'll be a perfect fit for our system, and she can run the floor, you know, and she can score the ball, something that we didn't have last year. We, you know, we needed some more scoring, and I think she'll be able to provide that for us.
As far as Jayla Hemingway is concerned, we had a chance to actually see her. We played against her in one of our marquee wins, really, in a few years, that top 10 road win at Mississippi State. Jayla Hemingway is a really exciting player as well. And again, that's a top 10 program that and a great get for us.
Yeah, absolutely. We're really excited about her. That she's a big physical guard that can handle the ball, can score at the rim with contact, right-handed and left-handed. She gives us something that we did not have last year. So we can get into the paint, that's a big guard, that's physical, and that type of stuff. So we're really excited about her. We think she's going to have a great career here at West Virginia. And you know, I can't wait to get her here in order to, you know, they play a lot of man-to-man, too. So she's been schooled. She understands the concepts of man-to-man and that. So I think she's going to have a great career here at West Virginia.
And she played for Vic Schaefer, and ironically enough, Vic Schaefer is coming into the Big 12. He's been named the new head coach at Texas, so we're going to be seeing probably some really good defensive physical matchups in the West Virginia-Texas series. They've always been great games, and I think, Mike, that series has the potential to get a whole lot better now.
Yeah, no, I'm looking forward to it, to be honest with you. I think that's great. You know, he does a great job with his teams, and we think we do a good job with our teams defensively, and so yeah, it will be. It'll be a great matchup and a lot of battles coming up, which is good. It's good for the Big 12 and good for West Virginia.
Yeah, no doubt about it. A couple of other players coming into the program by way of the community college route from Chipola Community College, a Toledo, Ohio native. Give me the scouting report on Ariel Cummings and how she might be able to help West Virginia immediately.
Yeah, Ariel. Not scared to bang. She's a legit 6'3", 6'3 and a half. Will sit down in the post, has good hands. Gets to the ball very well, blocks shots, and it gives us a physical person in there in the post. And that's something that, you know, I felt that, you know, at times we didn't have, but we think she'll be able to do that. And that really shores up that area. You have Rochelle Norris, which I think is going to take big strides this next year, and Blessing will take big strides, and then you add her in there, and she can play the four or five. So I think she can play different positions, which I always like. So, you know, with Kari in there and everybody. So I think we shored up our post, and we're excited about that area next year.
So, Coach, one thing that you and I have talked about here for a long time, and these are hard to come by, and you have to have the right fit, to try to add, you know, a marksman shooter just to come in maybe off the bench and just hit a big three, whether you need to extend the lead or get back into a game. And you're always looking for the right fit and for them to sort of fall out of the sky. And I think we've had one here from Hutchinson Community College, a Kansas native. Talk to me about Abby Ogle and what she's going to be able to do and how she's going to help the program. You filled the need that you've been seeking for a good while here, haven't you?
Yeah, absolutely. We feel that you're gonna have to guard her from the three, which for spacing reasons that really helps, and she can hit some big threes for us and bring her off some picks and that type of stuff. So, you know, I think she shot in junior college some like 37-38% from the three and shot high percentage from the floor, and had a great junior college career and led them to a lot of wins. And we think that she gives us. We had a need to bring in another shooter, and I think we've been able to do that with her. And great, great person, great family, and I just think she'll be a perfect fit down here in West Virginia.
Yeah, and we haven't even gotten into the freshman class as well, which you've already signed. So four additional Mountaineers are going to be on the roster. Two, maybe more, are going to be immediately eligible here as we get ready for 2021. But before any of that, we have to celebrate, and hopefully it's going to be a great celebration here over the next day or two, where Tynese Martin is going to go. The WNBA draft is coming up. I know she's been getting ready for it. You've talked to a lot of coaches and pundits with the draft coming up on Friday, Mike. Do you have any inclination of where she may go or where she's going to fall?
No, not really. I mean, it's crazy. Sometimes you get a lot of people calling. Sometimes you don't. They end up somewhere where you don't think they were even interested in them. I know Connecticut Sun has showed a lot of interest, and you know, a couple other teams. But it'll be interesting. I think you know, when they did the mock drafts, and that they had to go in second round, middle second round, and that type of stuff. But you know, that doesn't include the foreign players that are going to come out and that type of stuff. So it'll be interesting to see where she goes. But you know, I think her best basketball is ahead of her. We're very excited for her. She had a great career here at West Virginia. She's been a great person for us. And, you know, we only wish her the best. We really do. And I think wherever she goes, they're going to be getting a great young lady.
Yeah, no doubt about that. I'll second that comment as well. Well, Mike, all the best here, as I know you have to go rototill the garden here shortly. So, so all the best. I know your honeydew list is extensive. So, so Godspeed to you.
All right, thank you, Dan. Appreciate it, buddy.
All right, special thanks to Coach Carey and, of course, Alan Taylor for joining us here on this week's edition of the pod. Be sure to stay tuned to our WVU MSN Twitter feed, as we'll be posting a number of great classic all-time calls, plus re-airing full West Virginia broadcasts, and we're going to be doing that over the next number of weeks. So a lot of great content on our Twitter timeline at WVU MSN, and of course all of the WVU Athletics Twitter handles and WVUSports.com for that matter. So we've got you perhaps maybe on content overload, which this time right now in our lives is not necessarily a bad thing. Any updates that we have, we'll be sure to cover it, and we'll be sure to bring it to you as soon as it possibly breaks. But until then, we cross our fingers, we try to stay safe, and we try to adhere to all of the guidelines so we can get back to business sooner rather than later. Talk to you next time right here on the Mountaineer Insider Podcast across the Mountaineer Sports Network from Learfield IMG College.
You've been listening to the Mountaineer Insider here on the Mountaineer Sports Network from Learfield IMG College. The Mountaineer Insider has been presented exclusively by Segra, powering organizations of all sizes with state-of-the-art voice, data, and internet services. And be sure to find the latest news and information on the Mountaineers at WVUSports.com. The following has been a presentation of Learfield IMG College.